We see an expanse of tall trees laid out before us as our focus comes to rest on a single hawk in flight among the canopy. Twigs and leaves litter the forest floor below, slowly decaying, the only sign of the passage of time in this world between worlds that the goddess has found herself in. Through the forest, we see twin wolves roam, waiting for their chance to capture their prey. One, with fur as black as midnight other than a single white spot on its snout, watches the moon as it passes overhead. The other, radiant white fur covering its body other than a single black patch, rests, waiting for its watch that will come at sunrise. The hawk ascends, taking to the skies above, and in the distance, an ancient ashwood tree rises above the rest of the forest, its branches reaching well beyond the clouds. Among these branches, we see four stags racing, stopping occasionally to feed on the leaves and the small collections of flowers. As the ascent continues, weaving through the branches of the ancient ashwood tree that houses the worlds, we reach the top, and the hawk comes to rest between the eyes of a giant eagle, its eyes a ghostly white. Before the eagle sits a man, his skin like charcoal and his eyes burning with the fire of infernos. He steps to the edge of the space, allowing himself to drop and plummet through the air towards the ground, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of feet in free fall, before releasing a pair of fiery, golden wings that cushion him as he reaches the land below. At the base of the tree stands a large stone temple, an upturned crescent moon carved into the triangular pediment. Ivy and other varieties of plant life climb the outer walls and columns. We hear a dark, deep voice speak as the man makes his way into the temple.
It's time to begin.
And as the door closes behind him, we see the shadows begin to gather, shifting the world around us into blackness.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the Half-Blood Happy Hour. I'm Nick, and I'm going to be leading this collection of delightful demigods that I've gathered through a world of myths, magic, and mayhem. You know me. Let's introduce who we're going to be playing with.
Well, hello. I'm Isaac. I will be playing Diego Castilla. My pronouns are he, him, just as Diego's are. And I gotta say, I'm really excited. I get to finally live my dream of being a demigod. Diego is a demigod who is claimed by Poseidon. He grew up in Colorado, and he's a very socially awkward kid who doesn't know how to make friends. So, that's Diego.
Hi, I'm Lucy, and I am playing Harmonica, the daughter of Ares. Both our pronouns are she, they. Harmonica is the head bitch at Camp Olympus, and she's also the biggest bitch. So, we'll see how that goes.
I think I'd have to disagree with you on that, but okay.
Honestly, vibes. Personally, I think I'm the biggest bitch at camp. Because I'm everyone.
Because I'm everyone.
I am God.
It's just a collection of bitchiness. Hi, everyone. I am David. I will be playing Marcus Littleworth. He is a Cali kid who is not exactly comfortable with the world that he's in. Just like my pronouns are he and him, his pronouns are he, him as well.
Wonderful. I'm Zach, and I will be playing one Jackson McCabe. Both of our pronouns are he, him, and Jackson is a son of Hades, and is a monk. To give a little, picture of him, I guess, he stands about 6 feet tall, has a shaggy mop of black hair, pale, beyond pale skin, and is almost too skinny. Oh, and he drinks maybe too much alcohol, more than he should.
Honestly relatable.
Like Roderick from Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
There we go.
Oh my god, it is Roderick.
Imagine like a cigarette come to life that drinks. That's Jackson.
I once went to, I think the newest Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and I have a snap saved in my phone of just a picture of the Roderick from that movie with the caption, "Not my Roderick."
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Hi, I'm Gabby. I will be playing Andromeda. She is a daughter of Hades. I almost said Ares, which is wrong, because it's definitely Hades. Me and her both have she, her pronouns. Jackson is my twin brother, unfortunately. But
Hell yeah.
We did not grow up together. So we are complete opposites, where they are very loosey-goosey. I am very by the books. So we'll see how that plays out.
Alrighty. Well, now that that's now that our first intro is done,
these will hopefully get better as we do this more.
Hopefully, can you tell everyone?
We're all awkward. Very awkward.
We'll get better.
Get this ready. Is time that I completely forgot everything about my character.
Me too. I forgot my name.
I wrote
it's
my
okay.
character's name on the page just so I wouldn't fuck it up.
Guys, I literally almost said the wrong name for myself.
Oh, Maud, is your character's last name Castilla or Castillo?
Castilla.
Okay.
I know what it is. I know it's wrong.
Guys,
we love to see it.
I forgot my godly parent.
He's wrong.
I know. My whole backstory is off of my godly parent, and I almost said Aries.
It's fine.
It's all right. We'll get better at this. We'll get better.
We can only improve. There has to be a floor on the quality.
Yeah, we set the bar real low. Now we just gotta beat it.
It'll
only get
up.
Better. Hopefully.
Cool.
You got this.
All right. I guess it's time to jump in. We find ourselves in a world where the gods and monsters of the ancient world exist. In this world, it's no surprise that the mortal children of these ancient deities have a difficult time growing up. To try and make things easier for them, camps were founded around the world. Places where demigods could be safe while they learned how to defend themselves and survive on their own. This is the world that we find ourselves in. After the gods and their children joined forces to rid the world of the threat of the Titans, who sought to reclaim the world and destroy the Earth as we know it, everything fell into a tense time of peace. The children finally began to receive the recognition that they deserved, being claimed and taking their places in newly built and expanded cabins. More and more demigods were making their way to camp safely, being welcomed with open arms. But they all know that peace will never last forever. So they continue to prepare for whatever cataclysmic event might come next. So here we are, in this post-war reality, mourning those that we've lost, and celebrating the hard-won victory. We go to the northeastern shore of Long Island, passing through a forest that goes on for miles before cresting the hill that leads to camp. To the east stands a Greek amphitheater, the horned silhouettes of satyrs moving among the stage and seating area. Beyond that, there's a cluster of cabins of varying sizes, painted all different colors and shades. Further out, you see a massive climbing wall and obstacle course. To the west, you see what could be stables, sitting atop a tall hill, and at the bottom stands another cabin that is slightly smaller than the others. Beyond the smaller building is an arena, from which the sounds of metal on metal can be heard. Further out is a dense cluster of trees that backs up to the shores. However, before we head into the camp, we dip beneath the canopy of the woods below, coming to rest on a young woman, great axe in hand. Harmonica, you're out walking the camp's border alone. Jackson was unsurprisingly a no-show this morning. Also, in typical fashion, your walk around the border has been incredibly uneventful. At one point, you see a young dragon walking through the woods, gold and silver scales occasionally catching the light. You recognize the dragon as Midas, the protector of the camp. What does Harmonica do while she's on patrol?
I'm gonna just keep making pop culture references. You know in, like, Twilight, when Jasper does his cool bat trick? She's, like, totally just twirling her great axe, just, like, as she walks, just being cool about it.
I pictured you doing that bat trick with your axe and just
slicing your hand.
Just hand gone. Thanks, Harmonica. Doesn't have a hand now.
I love how all of our brains went there.
And I think she did, like, in the beginning she did, so she probably does have a bit of, like, scarring on her hand from it, but she's gotten better since her time at camp. Yeah, she probably takes her job way too seriously, to where if, like, even a rock is out of place, she'll look at it for a little bit, like, what the fuck, why is that moved? But she'll just keep going.
Okay. So, you continue tracing your usual path around the camp, seeing familiar trees and collections of flowers. Occasionally, you see trees that have sections that look like they were cleaved into. Many of the markings were left by you while bored on patrol. You're about an hour or so into walking the border when you reach a familiar clearing, at the center of which stand the remains of a stone archway. This archway was once the original entrance to the camp, and really the only way that people could come in or out. That, however, was before the war with the Titans reached the camp 3 years ago. Looking at it, you remember the people that the camp lost. You remember the faces of your siblings that you didn't see after the battle was done. What you don't remember are the black stones that seem to be collecting around what remains of the archway. What would you like to do?
Can I make an investigation check?
Absolutely.
Come on, good dice. Wait, where's my sheet? There.
First roll. This is the first roll of the podcast.
This is the first roll.
Oh, this has to be good.
Ooh!
Be
it's a fucking dirty 20!
Yes!
Go.
Searching around, you find these strange, barely visible runes running along the stones, giving off this faint blue light.
Can I pick one up?
They're, like, embedded in the ground. They're, like, big.
Oh, got it. Sorry.
Yeah, they're, like,
I was like,
can I still
she
pick one up?
This is almost as tall as you coming out of, like, jutting out of the ground.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting for you to say time to roll into
they're
character.
They're also weirdly, like, perfectly smooth faces.
Oh.
Like, there's not faces, but,
like they moisturize
the plain,
every day.
The planes of the, like, stones
yeah, these
are
rocks have a
just
great
smooth.
Skincare.
And you see, the like, these faint runes, like, run lines up each of the faces, like, right on the center of each face.
She'll probably lightly trace her hand on it. So she'll touch
okay.
it.
Okay. Make a wisdom saving throw for me.
Of course. Alright.
Oh my god.
Let's break in the next dice. Wisdom saving
definitely
throw?
Definitely not surprised.
Okay.
Neither
okay.
though.
16?
16?
Yeah.
Okay. You touch the stones. You see the little, the like light blue light flicker a little bit to a red, and then just dull back to that dull blue that they were previously. Nothing okay. happens other than that.
Harmonica is, I think she recognizes that this isn't normal or good, because I don't think she's seen it before. I probably need to go tell Drom.
All right. Cool. So, at this point, we are going to switch focus. Our focus goes to the raised sky blue cabin that rests at the bottom of the hill. A young man is being led inside by an equally young satyr, horns just beginning to grow in. Entering the building, we see a large main room. Banners representing each of the Olympian gods line the sections of the perimeter. Across from the door is a staircase leading up to an unseen floor where it can be assumed that those employed by the camp can make themselves comfortable in their own quarters. Sitting behind a desk off to the left of the room, pushed back about 20 feet or so from the entrance, is a dark-skinned man, appearing to be in his late 20s or early 30s. The sides of his head are shaved. A thick section of small twists run along the top and back, kind of like a mohawk. Marcus, as you and Isaac, the satyr accompanying you, enter the building, the man behind the desk stands, giving you a smile that's just as massive as he is. You must be Marcus! I'm Mitchell Kerrigan, head counselor here. Normally, Lady Persephone would be here to give you the big welcome speech and rundown of camp protocol, but she's been a bit busier than usual lately. And he kind of just walks over to you and holds out a hand for a firm handshake.
Marcus puts away the cards that he's been, like, kind of frantically shuffling over and over again. He takes a deep breath, he puts them away, and he puts out his hand for more like a casual handshake, not firm, just like, and you can tell he's not exactly even focusing on this huge man, he's just looking all around, trying to take everything in.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So it's around the time that you guys are shaking hands and you're just kind of watching around that you see behind you a young woman about your age, fair skin, blonde hair pulled back into a bun, walks in, looks at you. You must be the new guy. Who's your parent? I'm just curious.
My dad's name is James.
Right. You're new to this whole thing. I meant, like, your godly parent? Like, which one of the gods?
My dad was Catholic, but, I don't know.
Okay. Cool. Well, given that you don't know who he is, who I guess she is, considering your dad is mortal... Fucking Catholics.
That's the final cut.
Look, we were all thinking it.
Episode
I just
one.
Love that it took Catholics. It took one line for all of us to break character. One line, everybody loses it.
She's like, well, if you don't know who your mom is, I guess that means you're in my cabin by default. And she... Okay. Also extends her hand, just like, I'm Julia, head counselor of the Hermes cabin. You'll be staying with us until whatever goddess decided to have you just wants to claim you, I guess. Sorry, I'm not usually this rude, I'm tired. That's not an excuse, but it's been a long couple of days.
It's okay. Not all of us can control our emotions, right?
Damn.
She turns to look at Mitchell. So we've got a misogynist. Great, I definitely needed another one of those in my cabin.
Whoa. Listen here. I don't hate women.
It's whatever. I know where you spent however the fuck long it was. Come on, I'll show you to the cabin.
Just kind of grumbles. So you're the cabin.
Real
I'm
quick,
not a
can you give me a perception check?
She's a bitch.
No, I'm in love with her already.
I got that in my notes. Julia, Hermes cabin, kind of a bitch.
If you I want literally last name,
kind of a bitch, kind of
hot.
It's what?
It's Castellan.
No, it's
Fuck
not.
Off.
Fuck you.
Damn it.
That is a 19.
A 19? Cool.
Yes.
As you're leaving, you finally see through the layer of mist that surrounds Mitchell normally, and you see his skin change to a dull grayish-blue tint. The tips of his ears, nose, and fingers are like a slightly darker purplish-blue, looking almost frostbitten.
You just see Marcus pull out his deck of cards again, just frantically shuffling.
Cool. Julia leads you across camp over to this, like, horseshoe of it's more like an Omega sign, almost.
Right.
Of cabins, and leads you to, the last one on the right before it goes off into, like, this part of the Omega sign.
For those just listening, that's the bottom left part.
That's wonderful for an audio medium.
We're good. We're good.
I mean, half of us did dress up, and this is a podcast.
Yeah.
So. But listen, it's more fun. I'm method acting. Hush.
But you see, as you approach the cabin, kids and teenagers coming in and out rapidly. The cabin seems to just be overflowing with life. But it's in a bit of disrepair. There's like the paint on the outside is like peeling and like barely holding on. And you see a caduceus hanging over the doorway. And as you walk in, you see like haphazardly hung posters. You see balls, like bouncy balls being thrown across the room. It's like a full-on war zone. And also, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw as you enter.
Holy shit. Gonna get hit by a flying bouncy ball.
Balls. That is another 19.
Cool. As you walk in, you see Julia really quick duck out of the way, and there's just, like, this blue bouncy ball just rushing at your face, and right at the last second, it's, like, full-on Matrix. You're just kind of right out of the way. It like tips your nose and goes outside, and you see at the other end of the trajectory of this, like, its arc is a young Asian man with black hair and dark eyes. He's just like, sorry, you guys weren't supposed to walk in. I was just seeing how far I could throw it, and you can't really do that inside. And before either of you can say anything, he darts right out past you to go and retrieve his ball. And as that's happening, Julia turns to you and is just like, yeah, that's Ethan. He's a lot. But hopefully you grow to love him. You'll either love him or you'll actually commit murder. All depends.
Are there people who want to murder him?
You're looking at one.
Is there anybody you don't want to murder?
I mean, Harmonica, one of the Ares kids, but that's probably just because she could kick my ass.
Oh, well, she's nice.
Don't fuck with her. She's tiny, to quote a movie I'm sure we've all seen. Beverly Hills Chihuahua. She is tiny, but she is mighty. You might not have seen that movie. You spent time, all that time.
I know what a
in a weird time loop.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
I know what a Chihuahua is. So I get it. Well, I know I don't like Chihuahuas, so maybe.
She's okay, but she can say one wrong thing, she'll probably cut your throat in your sleep.
Very well.
But yeah. And it is in the midst of this conversation that we go over to a windowless cabin made of solid obsidian. heavy columns circle the outside of the building, and along the walkway leading up to the cabin stand a series of torches that burn with a sickly green fire, and a single onyx skull stands above the doorway. Upon entering, we see a dark room. Candles are lit all around, and the light flickers, the only source of light in this building at the moment. And we see two beds on opposite ends of the room, mahogany frames, brass bars at the head and the foot, blood red velvet blankets and pillows. One side of the room is neatly organized, almost as if the person that inhabits it hasn't allowed herself to get comfortable and really unpack her belongings. Andromeda, you hear the sound of your brother's snores from across the room, assuming that he had a long, long late night with the nymphs and the Dionysus kids. Looking over, you see a mess of small trinkets and various empty glass bottles. Jackson is partially in the bed and part out, his head and one of his arms kind of hanging off of the side. You definitely know he's supposed to be on perimeter patrol right now with Harmonica, and she is absolutely going to murder him. What would you like to do?
So, the first thing Andromeda's going to do is she's going to very quietly and gently try and move Jackson more onto the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of just, like, take her blanket and, like, throw it over him since he's on top of his. And then just be like, fucking idiot. And then just, like, think she's going to flick him on the nose and then just turn and go and try and find Harmonica because she knows that she's going to be pissed off.
Hey, Jackson, what's your passive perception? Out of curiosity.
Let me just check quick. My passive perception is... Oh, why not? 13.
13? Hey, Gabby, can you make a general athletics check for me?
Athletics? You mean my negative one to athletics?
Yeah. Are you a wizard?
I'm a wizard! I am weak!
Exactly, which is why you need to make the check to move your brother into bed.
Ooh.
Okay, so here's the thing. I rolled a 13 and I have a minus one.
Cool.
Better than a one.
Jackson, as she's moving you up into bed, you definitely wake up.
Oh, what? Oh, shit. Oh, what time is it?
Early.
Right now it's about 10-ish in the morning.
Not early.
Andromeda has definitely been to her first, like, couple of things she had to do today. You've been to none.
Oh, shit. Oh, perimeter duty. Fuck. Oh. Harmonica's gonna kill me.
I can try and smooth things over for you.
No. It's fine. I'll head over. Whatever. I kind of fumble around at my nightstand for my half-empty bottle of Ambrodka, and go to take a big swig. And as I do so, I also stumble out of bed and start putting my pants on with the other hand, and I'm not doing it very well.
Andromeda's go like, ahead oh. and...
Oh, no.
Fuck, what kind of check do I want this to be? Everybody has to make checks.
I feel like it's acrobatics.
Let's go ahead and call this... Weirdly enough, I want to call it a performance check.
Yeah, I can see
okay.
that.
Yeah, I can see it.
Just you trying to give off the, like, make yourself seem like you're awake and ready to go for the day.
Well, don't
knowing
worry.
You are so late.
Don't worry, your boy has proficiency in performance.
Of course you do.
That is going to be a 14.
With a 14... You definitely stumble a bit, like, you start putting the pants on while you're sitting down and drinking, and you stand up and, like, trip and, like, barely catch yourself, but, like, you kind of, like, waddle running to the door, and at this point I need Andromeda to make a perception check.
Well, that dice fucked me, so let's use this one. This is my perception. Oh, okay. 7.
A 7? Yeah, that's gonna do it. It was a really low DC.
Oh, okay.
Before I head out. Okay, no, I'll wait. Yeah, sorry.
You, Andromeda, you feel a warmth resting on your chest coming from the onyx stone of your necklace. And looking down, you see it kind of lift and start trying to pull you in the direction of the door.
Oh, I follow it without hesitating.
Okay.
Also, before I head out, I would like to do one other thing to freshen up for the day. Would it be possible to druidcraft just like a pleasant nature smell smeared on myself to get rid of the booze smell?
I'll say, give me an arcana roll.
Oh no!
To see if you can get the exact effect you want while intoxicated.
Okay, good.
Because you were definitely still drunk from the night before.
I believe in you.
Oh, that's going to be a 19.
Oh
my god.
Absolutely. God, you're going, and do you keep the ring on your person?
Oh, yeah.
Do you, like, wear it, or is it, like, on a necklace?
It's on a necklace.
Oh, in that case, you see yours start to do the same thing that Andromeda's was doing.
Do we both see each other's doing that?
Absolutely, yeah. With a 13 passive perception, I assume yours is higher.
Mine's actually also 13.
Oh, then yeah.
Hey. Wow, it's like we're
very wise, aren't you?
Wow.
But you see out of the corner of your eye, Andromeda, like this little glow come from Jackson's onyx stone. And then suddenly, not just him, but the entire room smells like very pleasant, like a nice grove of flowers, like fresh after the rain, that post-rain smell, which is, I don't know if anyone else likes that, but I
petrichor.
Love it.
I love it.
Yep.
It's like that in this room.
She definitely like smirks and is just like, okay, show off, trying to show motherfucker.
I've definitely done this a lot of other times and gotten low arcana before and made the room smell like shit, so... This is just a good day.
Thank goodness.
Side note, real quick, Harmonica, can you give me 2 strength saving throws? This will become relevant.
All right, that is a 23 and a 18.
Okay. Good to know. So you guys follow where your onyx stones are leading?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. I will try and, like, leave space between us because I know that he's kind of an asshole, so I'll be, like, try to, like, not look like I'm following him because he definitely walked out the door before me, but, like, definitely going in the same direction. Like, have a good morning!
How many times have I told you I don't need to be babysat?
I'm not... Okay.
Don't you have, like, other... Don't you have, like, tattoos to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not your turn for perimeter duty.
At that, she's gonna shoulder check him and march past him.
Cool. Following the lead of your necklaces, you are led out into the woods, eventually reaching a small clearing where you see Harmonica cutting herself free of these vines that are trying to entangle her.
Holy shit, are you okay?
And right next to her, you see the remains of a stone archway that you both recognize, as well as these unfamiliar, shining, smooth black rocks with a vein of dull green light running up the sides.
What the hell?
Holy shit, are you okay? Mon?
Am I free of the vines?
Yes, you are.
Okay. She kind of...
had to beat a 15.
Oh, fuck yeah. She dusts herself off, and she kind of looks at Drom. Hey, Drom. And then she looks at Jackson, holds up her battle axe. Hey, underling. How were you?
I'm sorry.
I let him sleep in. It was on me. I let him sleep in.
Yeah, what she said.
That was my bad.
It's her fault. Yeah.
It really, Drom? It's your fault.
Yeah. But can we get back to this later? These are new.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It will never happen again.
Stop talking.
Can I?
I'm gonna be on time always now.
Jackson,
I'm gonna let them do their shit. Can I start casting ritual casting detect magic?
Sure.
And then while she's doing that, I'm just not going to look at Jackson and just be like, I came across these, they were glowing blue, and then I touched them and they flickered red, and then back to blue, now they're green. Runes aren't my thing.
Could we maybe, these are sick, they're like LED lights.
John? John?
I wonder if we can get like purple or orange or like the whole rainbow.
I really need you guys to be quiet while I'm doing this, please. Take some concentration. Thank you.
All right, but you cast Detect Magic?
Yeah, because I don't have the components to do Identify yet.
You get an aura of Conjuration Magic off of it. And that's all you get from it.
Can I attempt to read the runes? Or, like, are they something we would recognize?
Like, are in a language entirely unfamiliar to any of you.
Do you think we need to tell Persephone?
I know she's really busy. We could talk to Mitchell.
I mean, glowing stones next to a old archway are pretty important, no?
Yeah, we can go look for her.
Hey, Drom.
Maybe we'll tell them both.
You guys take the lead.
I need you... How close are you getting to the stones?
Pretty freaking close.
Can you make a strength saving throw for me?
Yeah. Guys, I have a -1 on strength saving throws.
These have
really
been the worst rolls for you.
Okay. I'm a magic user! Okay. You can do it. So here's the thing.
Did you roll a 15?
No, I rolled a 1 -1, which is 0.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
So, we got the first natural 1 out of the way, guys. It's okay. So,
okay, can only get better.
Oh, no.
We'll never get a nat 1 ever again throughout
Dick
this whole
is like,
podcast.
I didn't plan for this.
So, with a nat 1.
With a 0.
A 0, actually. You are casting the spell. The two of you see her eyes kind of, like, flicker between her normal eye color and, like, black. Just, like, flicker between it as the spell kind of comes into effect. And you guys just see these vines rip from the ground around the stones and just wrap themselves around her and, like, lock her in place, and she drops to the ground. You are restrained, Andromeda.
Can I try cutting them?
Absolutely.
Okay,
are you just straight up rolling an attack, or are you going to try to do this nicely? This is me asking if you are going to accidentally hurt your friend in the process.
Get me out, 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 get me out.
I don't want to.
Get me out,
get me out, get me out.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'll say it with that. Roll an attack roll. And okay. Then follow it up with a sleight of hand check.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I mean, if possible, I'd like to maybe help try to pull some vines off. If, let me know.
And,
so, 17.
Go ahead and roll your sleight of hand with advantage.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Cool.
So that's 17 for an attack, and then okay. A nat 20 plus 2 for sleight of hand.
Okay, yeah, no problem. You kind of like...
Ooh.
What's up?
Oh, no, this is going to be a 23 on sleight of hand.
Cool. Ooh. I didn't need you to roll, but I'm kind of glad you did. I always appreciate it. Yeah, the two of you make, like, short work of this. You see Jackson drops to the ground and, like, starts just full-on ripping them apart. And then Harmonica comes in, like, with just like holding the blade of her axe and like the little round part and like full on like it's a little saw just kind of like little bits at a time, like trying to do this as gently as possible. Andromeda, you take no damage and you are no longer restrained.
Blessed be.
And you guys see as the runes, which were like bright green when the vine shot out, dull back, like switch back to that dull blue, which at this point you would assume is a neutral state for them.
Okay, but like, how do we get purple?
Okay, maybe we should just talk to Persephone, and because that was not fun.
No. Okay, let's go. Okay. I don't want anyone else touching these runes, though. Do you guys want to go and I'll keep watch, or should we all go?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if I take a crack at them, I can get some new colors.
I'm going to grab Jackson's hand and say, we're going, and I'm just going to, like, pull him. I can't pull you because I'm not strong.
Do you want her to pull you? Babysitting
me.
Are you going to let her pull him along?
Yeah, I think for the save earlier, I'll let Drom pull me away.
Okay. It's weak as shit.
Just because she took the fall on letting me sleep in.
Cool. It is at that point that our focus shifts once again over to the shores of Camp Olympus. As other campers ready their canoes, we go across the surface of the water, glittering with sunlight above as gentle waves make their way towards the sandy beach. Diego, as you relax in the water, staring up at the clear blue sky overhead, you let your eyes close for a moment, and your consciousness shifts to the feeling of the tides around you. A moment passes, your mind clearing of the worries of the day, when you feel something nudge against your back and run between your, like, up your spine and between your shoulder blades. What would you like to do?
Okay. I would like to try to see if I can figure out, like, I would like to roll a perception check to see what's on me. Or investigation, I don't care, whichever one you prefer.
Either one. Your choice.
I'm going to do perception. That's a 25, baby.
Holy shit.
Whoa, let's go.
Nice.
Fucking druids, man. High fucking wisdom. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, you kind of just slightly, like, not so much roll yourself, but kind of, and you see this young-looking nymph retreating into the water about 20 feet and then turning to stare up at you for a moment before, like, kind of beckoning you to follow.
Okay, I follow.
Okay. You follow the nymph deep beneath the waves. You swim for 10, 15 minutes before reaching this underwater tunnel, the opening of which is surrounded by these strange glowing stones.
Okay.
Do you go through the tunnel?
I would like to investigate the stones first.
Alrighty.
Ah, damn, that's an investigation.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a 16 investigation.
Alright. I'll say with a 16, you see the runes kind of cycle through colors.
Mm-hmm.
Always coming back, like, it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
Blue for a good amount of time, very quickly between green and red, and then back to resting at blue.
Can I tell this is definitely, like, a magical effect kind of thing?
Roll Arcana?
That's a 19.
A 19? You definitely get that something will happen if you touch them. And you also definitely get that they were, like, magically grown.
Mm.
Like, they... Maybe that... Like, recently, magically grown.
Okay, without touching them, I would like to go into the tunnel.
Alright. Go ahead and make a general dexterity check to see if you can weave your way in.
How dexy is our water boy?
I'll say do it with advantage because you are in the water.
I don't think I need it.
Okay.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did.
Did you just nat 20?
Nat 20, baby!
Yes!
There you go.
Yeah, You get through, like, full-on Poseidon Kids, man. Just, like, swimming, and then you kind of give, like you're doing a breaststroke, and the water just, like, rockets you forward, and you're, like, a dart just straight in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say with a nat 20, you don't need to make the other checks to swim through this tunnel.
Damn.
Sick. You just, like, smooth as silk through this tunnel. Mm-hmm. It goes down for a bit and then curves up. And you go up maybe 10 feet and resurface in, like, the small underwater cavern. It's maybe 30 by 30.
Okay.
And you do see...
Is there any light in here?
There are similar stone, like the stones outside around the tunnel, similar ones lit up all around the perimeter of the room.
Mm.
And
is a nymph still with me?
You see her, she climbs out of the water and stands like about 10-15 feet away from you, like halfway through the room. Mm-hmm. There's like a bit like land. Like land starts, and she just stands there.
Do you know what this is?
I don't know. I don't like that it's in my home.
So it's bad, yes?
I'm going to assume. Random black rocks sprouting out of nowhere. Assume what
I'm
going
to do
well.
Something stupid. Okay. You ready? I do something stupid. I go and I like try to like see if I can touch one of the runes.
You touch one of the runes?
Yes, I am. Let's see if I have to do something.
Yeah. All right, make a wisdom saving throw. You should be happy you're good at these.
I'm really good at that. That's a 22.
22?
Let's go.
As you touch one of the stones, you see the runes like turn to a vicious red.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens.
Can I tell like what that... Can I do an arcana check to see what that means?
I will say with the wisdom saving throw, you get that it is definitely trying to, like, mess with your head and, like, not be good to your brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you watch as it, like, goes to this vicious red and then dulls back and changes to the dull blue that all of the rest of them are.
All right, Nymph, what's your name, Nymph? Nymph.
Oh, I didn't give her one. Let me pull up my trusty list of
names Gabby gave you?
That's what I have these for. Is to randomly assign them.
Wait, I'm sorry. Gabby gave you what?
A list of 15 names.
Wasn't it 30?
It was 15. My name is Cassiopeia.
Cassie. Make sure nobody touches this. Let me go get somebody who might be able to help. And I run to see if I can find Persephone.
All right. As you turn around, you see on the wall behind you, like in big glowing blue letters, locked behind these sunken walls, the winding king forever stalls.
Okay. I take out, I probably don't have, do I have any? Never mind.
Were you about to say you want to yank out your phone? After definitely swimming so far?
Yep. I definitely don't have a phone.
Like, you're a Poseidon kid, so you swim really fast. You swam probably, like, 2 miles in that span of time to get to this.
Damn.
Did you just
wow. Speedy bitch.
Yeah. Okay.
Michael Phelps who?
Shoot. All right. I forgot your name. Just watch this.
Cassie.
Name is Cassiopeia.
Cassie.
You can call me Cassie. I will accept that.
Alright, Cassie. Can you just watch this? Make sure nobody... I don't know what this means. Don't try anything. Make sure nobody tries anything. I think it's... Actually, can I do an investigation check to see if I can try to unlock or try to figure out more about this this message that I've received?
Make a religion check.
Okay, my intelligence is not very high. What is that? Oh, that's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20?
Yeah. These dice are really helping me. Nothing.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
And there's nothing else in this room that I can touch or, like, move or put together or anything like that?
Nope. Just empty the water, the section of land, the writing on the wall, and all the stones along the perimeter.
Okay, I want to leave.
What's your passive perception?
My passive perception is a 16.
You get a feeling like you're being watched, and it's not by this nymph.
Okay, I pull out my quarterstaff.
Okay. You don't see anything.
I just cast Shillelagh on it. Just Shillelagh? Shillelagh? Shillelagh?
Shillelagh.
Shillelagh.
Shillelagh. Anyway, I have my quarterstaff out. Like, show yourself. I know you're here.
Nothing responds. But that feeling that you're being watched doesn't go away.
Okay. I am looking to see if I can... I want to look to see if I can find where I'm being watched from.
Sure. Make... Fuck, what kind of check?
Insight?
Maybe another perception check?
I'll say do another perception.
Hell, keep rephrasing.
I will keep rephrasing.
New perception checks.
And I'll keep rephrasing the same thing.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. That's a 21.
21?
Yeah.
You pulled that up. I was like, this motherfucker.
You get a weird feeling, like it's coming from the feeling that you're being watched is from the stones.
Okay.
And the writing on the wall.
Okay, I take my dagger and I try to, like, scratch at the stone. See if anything happens.
As your dagger makes contact with the stone, I need another wisdom saving throw.
Oh my god. No.
I need some math, friends.
He wouldn't.
Math.
Go,
what's
18
plus 6? 18
plus
6
is 24.
24.
What?
All right.
I can only do math for other people.
I hate to tell you this, but that is not high enough this time. As your dagger touches it, you feel your entire body go numb and your vision goes black. And all you see is the full moon with a single shadowy figure standing in front of it, watching you. And then your vision goes back to normal.
Oh, I don't get to talk to them at all?
Nope.
Okay, single moon with a shadowy vision.
Full moon. Full moon. Remember this so you can tell me later.
What did I say?
You said single moon.
Gotcha. Oh, Sailor
all
Moon.
Of the moon.
She is the one named Sailor Moon.
And so, so at this point, I'm running. I need to find Persephone as quick as I can.
Cool.
I'm running towards
Cassie
Persephone.
Jumps in right after you.
I just
kind
want
of
you
watching
Nick,
your back.
I'm going to remind you forever that this nymph's name is Cassiopeia. I'm going to remind you forever.
All right. You go back through that tunnel, swim back the way it came, and as you resurface, you hear the lunch bell calling everybody to the dining pavilion. And at that point...
I'm starving.
Jesus.
Come on. Cut to the dining pavilion, where campers, satyrs, and counselors are grabbing their lunch, taking their seats at their respective tables to eat. The sun is high, cloudless. It is a beautiful day. You can see for miles. What is everybody doing?
I'm still trying to find Persephone.
Same.
I mean, I'd like to peel off and get some food.
Can you focus?
Are you trying
once?
To do it sneaky? Or are you just
not
doing
at all.
It? Okay,
no,
yeah.
I'm fucking walking over there.
You guys just see, as you guys are walking back from the woods around the camp, you get about halfway to the counselor's cabin before Jackson just full-on switches direction and starts running to the dining pavilion.
Really, Jackson?
Guys, I'll be right back, okay? I didn't eat breakfast, and I'm starving, okay?
Do I see this at all?
I was just about to ask if I could see Diego. at any point.
Both roll a perception check, I guess?
I'm still at the stones. Are you fucking kidding me?
24 for me.
24?
Yep.
Oh, no.
You definitely see figures that definitely look similar to Andromeda, Harmonica, and Jackson, two of whom are going to the counselor's cabin, and Jackson, the one that looks like Jackson, breaks off and starts heading towards where lunch is.
Drama's way too pissed at Jax for leaving because she rolled a natural one again.
I'm also still at the rock. I don't think I went with them because I'm making sure no one's touching them.
You do not see Harmonica, I guess, because she is not heading back. She is still in the woods.
You definitely see Drom like yelling at Jackson, just being like, "Are you fucking kidding me? He has something important."
I run to Drom.
Just give me like 15
minutes.
Hey. I swear I'll be right back. What have I ever let?
Hey, I need you. We need to go find Persephone right now.
Yeah, I needed to go find Persephone.
Oh, perfect. Let's go.
Wait. Why do you need to find Persephone?
Glowing rocks, bad visions. Let's go.
Wait. You saw glowing rocks. Where did you find glowing rocks?
Hard to say. Somewhere in the ocean, swam down, followed a nymph into a tunnel. About 2 miles away, underwater.
We found glowing rocks by the archway.
Of course you did.
Let's go find Persephone.
All right. You guys head to the counselor's cabin?
Yep.
All right. You walk in. You see Mitchell behind the desk with his little lunchbox. He's
Mitchell!
Eating some soup.
Hi, Mitchell.
Mitchell, we need Persephone right now.
Can we say hi?
Barge in and you start talking and you see he's like right... like mid mouthful of soup, and it just kind of drools back out of his mouth. It's just like, what do you need?
Persephone,
I'm really
good
sorry. I'm really sorry,
can't
Mitchell.
Can't really get you Persephone right now because she's not in camp.
Okay, well, the camp might be under attack, Mitchell.
Can help you with?
Mitchell, the camp might be under attack, Mitchell.
Maybe we should just not assume things.
Why is the camp under attack?
Diego, how about I handle the conversation?
That sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
Druids are
a little what, Mitchell?
When it comes to these things. Mitchell is also a druid.
I'm sorry, Mitchell. Yeah.
Mitchell is also a druid.
Clarify. You guys walk in and you see him like full frost giant form. Like small giant.
I want you to know that Diego is definitely trying to be like sarcastically fun, but it's just coming off as a dick. But in his mind, he's being funny and like really like just trying to be a good friend, but he doesn't know how to act.
So it's like, it's okay. So here's the thing. When Harmonica was doing her perimeter checks with Jackson this morning, they found these glowing rocks.
You don't have to lie. I saw you and Jackson running out to the woods significantly later than he should have been out there.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Totally
he'll get a
there.
Warning this time.
Cool.
Again.
How many warnings can you give him? Let's be honest here, Mitchell.
Right now, too many. But I'm being nice.
It was my fault. I let him sleep in. Anyway,
stop lying. It's
I'll
fine.
I'll pretend that I believe that, Andromeda.
Thanks. Anyway, don't ask me where that came from. Mon found some glowing rocks. I say glowing rocks, but there's runes in them that are glowing. And I think Diego just said they found the same thing.
Oh, yeah, and there was a message on mine, too.
What was
the message? You didn't let me explain. But there was a message, and then I touched the rock, and I got a really bad vision.
Well, what was kind of spooky. Was the message?
Locked behind sunken walls, the Winding King forever stalls.
As you say, the Winding King, you see his face full on drop, and he instantly, wild shapes into a bird, flies out of the building.
Oh,
fuck, I can't wild shape into a bird. Damn it.
Well, now you can. You saw one. Let's go.
No, I can't.
At level 3, druids can't have a fly speed.
I don't have a fly speed.
But you know what? Follow.
Oh wait. You guys can roll insight if you want.
I do want to roll an insight. Hold on, I'm pulling up my wild shape list.
Roll an insight, but also can I send Styx to follow?
Sure.
Oh wait! I rolled a 21.
21 for insight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, that's the best roll. I assume
Diego's gonna roll high.
You already know.
Oh my god.
Nat 20, baby.
Are you kidding me? I was so excited.
Judging from his expression before he changed into a bird, you definitely get the vibe that he is going to find Persephone. Like, going to wherever Persephone is to be like, hey, something's fucking up, and we might have a problem.
So, Drum, what do you want to do? Should we wait here?
Oh, I gotta go talk to Mon. So they know.
Do you, though?
I know you guys don't get along, but, like, it's been years. Can we, like, try?
Listen. Drum, you know what she did.
I know, but you guys are both my friends, and I can't let her sit out there when lunch is going on.
I mean...
You can...
I guess we'll go. I'll go with you.
Okay.
Alrighty. You guys are gonna head back to the... Out into the woods to find Mom?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. At that point, we are going to switch over to Marcus. And I assume Jackson went to go get lunch. Marcus, Julia... She's kind of like showing you around the tiny cabin that you definitely don't need a tour of. And like, as you walk out and she's like planning to give you a tour of the rest of camp, you guys hear... You hear an unfamiliar, like, bell toll. And Julia's like, oh, is it lunchtime already? Huh. Cool. You hungry? I assume you've been traveling a while and probably, like, could do with a proper meal?
Yeah. I don't think I've sat down and ate something normally in quite a while.
Cool. And she leads you over to... the dining pavilion, and as you walk up, you see at the center there's like I'm trying to think of how to describe it. Have you guys seen pictures of the Parthenon, like the remains of the Parthenon in Greece?
Yes, it's
kind of like, wait, no, it's not the Parthenon, it's the Acropolis. Yes. Like the just decayed building where it's like the pillars and then it doesn't have a roof.
Yes.
It's like that but not decaying. And at the center there's like this big like fire, like burning fire lit, and around it you see just a bunch of small little tables, all of these various ages of kids and some adults just kind of gathered eating. You see nymphs are like serving stuff onto like trays and like proper plates. And you see this line of kids leading up to the fire, just dropping a little bit of their food into it. Realistically, in that line, you might see Jackson. I don't know what Jackson's vibe is.
Oh, yeah. I am full on drinking from a flask, being a public
You definitely
nuisance.
Walk past, like, the fire and just kind of dump,
I'm
like,
noticeable.
Pop, like, half a shot of alcohol into it, and you're just like,
I got
That's good enough for you, Dad.
Oh, you think I'm wasting my alcohol on this fucker? No. I'm taking my most rotten piece of food.
Oh, I love
it.
This is definitely something you've had, like, under, like, outside of the cabin, just, like, in the dirt, like, slowly decaying.
This was a failed attempt at making my own alcohol. Like, I tried fermenting something.
Oh, I love it.
And I go up to the fire, and I, like, slam dunk it in, and I just go, take that, asshole.
Make a wisdom
Hades,
save.
More like bad daddies.
Bad daddies.
Yeah, make a wisdom die. Save.
Oh, shit, this is bad. Okay, it's gonna be an 8.
Shit.
With an 8? Oh, shit. You hear...
Bring it on.
Do you suppose...
Asshole.
Do you suppose Jackson has ever heard his dad's voice before?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you just hear this deep, guttural voice. I'd watch what you put in that fire from now on. And as quick as it comes in, it's gone.
And you're just left like this. I'll listen to you when you actually have a conversation with me, asshole.
And you're left with just like this weird buzzing in your ear for like
a minute or two afterwards. I lean into the fire before I go and say, I'm going to find some even grosser shit.
He's literally going to shit in the fire.
But, so y'all chill, you vibe, you eat some foods. Maybe about halfway through lunch. Lunch is usually about, you guys are given an hour of free time for lunch. It's not all expected to be used eating. About halfway, you hear the sound, the noise dull down a bit as a woman walks up the hill and enters the space. Her impossibly long dark brown hair, which is usually pulled up and wrapped into a tight bun, is in a long, thick braid that comes over her shoulder. Within it, you see like small flowers of various colors, as well as like little jewels that occasionally like glint with the light.
Wow.
She's wearing this long, flowy chartreuse dress.
Ooh, yes.
That almost reaches the ground, and it just seems to like almost billow around her, like she's just in this constant breeze. She's hot. Persephone's hot.
She sounds pretty.
Good, that was my next question.
Can we assume at this point that everyone's in the like mess hall area? Because it's been an hour, right?
Yes. Unless you guys wanted to be still be waiting out by the
rocks. No, there was only one thing I wanted to do while we were out by the rocks. This is just a general question. Does it look like it's made of the same material as my necklace?
It does not.
Okay, I just wanted to see, put that out there.
It looks closer to the stone that makes up your cabin.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Before anything, when we're going up to Mon, like Harmonica, Monica, Harmonica, whatever your name is.
What's he doing here, Drum?
He found the same kind of rocks and a message in the water.
I was useful, is what I was.
She was also useful. She saved me. Drum. I got entangled. Drum. She saved me.
I mean, I
you
saved
weren't there.
You were not there. Zach.
Shush.
Drum.
But okay. I could definitely just picture, like, Jackson being like, yeah, I saved you too.
You're welcome.
We went to try and find Persephone. She's not here, but when we told Mitchell about the words that Diego found down in the water, he immediately changed into a bird and took off, I think, to find her.
Diego, did you touch the stone?
Yeah, I did.
You didn't tell me you touched the stone.
Well, how do you think I got the vision? I told you.
What
it doesn't
vision?
Matter.
You didn't say a vision.
Oh, did I not mention the vision?
No.
No. You didn't.
Oh, there was a vision.
Of what? If you say a single moon.
A single moon. No, just a single mom who works. No.
A single moon who works two jobs.
There was a full moon. You know, a dark, shadowy figure. It was kind of gave up some vibes. Not super great.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It was only for a second. I tried to threaten her, threaten them.
Also,
all right.
It was a great time.
I guess we could just go and get some lunch.
Yeah, why not? Nothing bad happens if you touch it.
I got entangled.
Well, you should have tried harder not to be entangled.
I'm weak.
I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna make you guys do this again.
No.
I was about to ask how close.
Oh
all
no,
of you
not
are.
Even close.
No, I
Drom learned
like,
a fucking lesson.
Away.
I'm like, if there's a hill, I'm definitely standing on top of it just to look down at Harmonica.
Okay.
I'm definitely walking in between them back to the pavilion.
Cool. You guys, weirdly enough, arrive back maybe like 10 minutes before Persephone makes her entrance.
Can I run up to her?
Oh, okay.
Hi, excuse me, Persephone?
I follow. Persephone, I actually have useful information.
Wait, guys.
One at a time.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
I have
you. And she points at Harmonica.
Of course.
Wow.
Thank you, Persephone. This morning while I was on patrol alone, I came across these black stones, and they had runes on them, and when I touched them, they turned red, and then, like, vines came out and tried to tangle me, but I you know, because I cut out. And then Andromeda and Jackson came, and they touched them, and it turned, like, I think green or something, and then Andromeda got caught, and then I motioned to Diego. And then...
Now, are you ready for the useful information? So,
is this one always this disrespectful?
Yes. Not to you. I apologize. My apologies.
Real quick, you hear Harmonica says, out on patrol alone, and Jackson, you feel this burn come from your onyx stone in your chest.
I'm just saying, like, I definitely followed my friends. So, like, the four of us are now all congregated by Persephone.
Is this a, like, a big disturbance? Or is it just, like, can I...
Persephone walking in? Yes, because she doesn't usually...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Marcus was already,
like,
distracted
show
there.
Up to regular camp functions because she's a goddess. And it is summer. She has a job to do.
Yeah, he was already distracted.
But,
there.
Yeah, your attention is fully... drawn to whatever the fuck this is that's going on.
Cool. I'd like Marcus to walk over, I think, at that point, because, like, I need to defend myself.
The annoying four teenagers who are now disrupting his view of the literal goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about it. It doesn't seem like there's anything, like, too alarming.
Do we notice? We notice you for the first time, I'm assuming, since you're behind us.
I'm at
trying to look over.
Or are you still at your table?
I'm at a table, but...
Like, oh, you're at a table. Sorry. I thought you were, like, literally behind all the four characters, just, like, looking over their shoulders.
Nah.
And as you're, like, observing this fracas that's happening, Julia, who has been kind of reluctantly sticking with you, like, is taking full responsibility, but gives off a vibe that she definitely doesn't want to be,
mm-hmm.
kind of, like, nudges you. Curly hair? That's Harmonica. She is the one I told you not to, you know,
that is,
try anything with.
Wow.
Yes,
that is
exactly.
Not a chihuahua.
No, it's not a chihuahua, but the description still stands. Next to her is Diego. And next to Diego is Andromeda. They're a lot.
Do you want to kill them?
It comes and goes. But yeah, I'm sure you guessed. That's Lady Persephone.
Wow.
Ta-da! A goddess.
I'm assuming she's important.
The goddess of springtime? Yeah. Queen of the underworld? Yeah. I would... Is she important?
Is she important?
What the fuck?
Hey, I'm new to all this.
And you guys definitely just hear a familiar voice just yell, "What the fuck?"
Andromeda.
And your around. Attention is immediately drawn to Julia Castellan, who you guys know as the Hermes counselor, and some new guy?
I wave at them.
Don't wave. I hate her.
Oh.
No.
And it's at this point that Persephone will be like,
oh my God.
Oh, I guess that one's Jackson. He's...
I don't look back. I am still focused on Persephone.
Anyway, Persephone.
It is a... She will put a hand out. This can wait. We will talk later. I'm here on business. I have some stuff I need to do. And she kind of steps through you guys. Like, not... Like, if you aren't moving out of her way, she fully, like... hands between
separate. Hi, Julia. Hands down.
I'm out of the way. Through.
Andromeda takes like four steps out of the way because she's, even though Persephone has been the nicest ever to her, she is still so anxious about being a Hades child and having Hades' wife be the leader of this, like the watcher of this camp, and be like, okay, I'm not gonna get on your bad side, okay? Just like move out of her way.
But yeah, what's up?
I was gonna say, Mon kind of turns to Diego and she's like, wow, even your useful information couldn't have kept her here.
Oh, guys.
Listen, Mon,
do we have to do this now?
Just.
Maybe.
What? You want to throw stuff at me and I can't throw anything back? Fine. And then she walks.
No, that's not
to get food.
What I meant.
Persephone catches you. Do you like go to walk out of the dining pavilion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see her kind of turn. Don't leave. And you are frozen in place as vines like grab your legs.
Oh,
like, don't leave.
You definitely see Diego playing with the dagger in his hand.
And like she lets them drop, assuming that you've gotten the point.
Yeah. I lean against the door.
I'm just the door? It's an open pavilion with columns.
No column! Fuck off! Any column I want, I lean on.
But you guys hear the soft voice that you had grown, the voice you had grown accustomed to in that little bit, like, triple in volume. And you hear, as I'm sure you all know, the summer solstice is this week, which means that it's time for the annual solstice festival and tournament. The sign-up sheet for the tournament will be at the counselor's cabin. And the tournament trials will begin the day after tomorrow. That is all. And then turns, walks over to you, Harmonica. It's just like, I know you usually enter the tournament. I'd appreciate it if you would offer Marcus. And she motions over to the new guy who you don't recognize, who is sitting next to Julia. I would appreciate it if you offer Marcus a place on the team that I'm sure you're building.
Yes.
I'm sure he'll be a good addition.
Okay.
Also, this isn't a request. This is an order. In case you were questioning it.
Okay.
And before you respond, Persephone turns, takes maybe five steps, disappears.
What's with no, these gods and just like not giving room to reply? Like all of them.
Persephone is a busy goddess. It is the summer.
It's her busy time.
She has a job.
It's her busy time.
She has a job to do maintaining some seasons. And also still being the queen of the underworld.
Mon is going to walk over to Marcus begrudgingly.
Drama's like following like three steps behind because she's still not sure if she should try and like fix the awkwardness that is Diego and Harmonica, or she should follow Harmonica and try and fix what happened there. So she's just like stuck in this like in-between state.
All right. And with that, the camera, there's not a camera, but I'm seeing it.
No, there's a camera. There's a camera now.
If there were a camera, you see like the focus kind of pull away from the dining pavilion up into the sky. And come to rest on the Demeter cabin, where you just see vines begin slowly crawling up the side of the cabin.
Fuck.
And that is where we're gonna end this episode.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Because we're splitting this into two, because that is about an hour and a half of audio.
Holy shit.
Wait, so we're gonna keep going?
And we're aiming for an hour-ish. Yeah, okay. I have enough given
okay,
this
do we
that
wanna
it can be another
did
episode.
We want to stop?
We are going to take a break. Okay. We're going to drop the audio.
Hey guys, what's up? I'm Gabby and I play Andromeda on Half-Blood Happy Hour. Thanks again for listening. If you want to keep up with us in real time and be notified whenever we have an update, you can follow us over on TikTok and Instagram at Half-Blood Happy Hour. We're also on Twitter at HB_happy_hour. See you guys in the next episode.